To Christian friends, may our risen Lord give you hope and life now and forever. Well, our gospel lesson this morning started telling us that on that first Easter day in the evening, the disciples were in the upper room behind locked doors for fear of the Jews. What causes you to fear? We all have different things. For many people, it's the fear of flying. My sister is one of those. She's never been out to visit me in California because she'd have to fly from Florida to get here. I'm still working on it, but it's amazing how that fear can keep you from doing something that we ought to do, and that's what happened to the disciples. Fear of the Jews. Reminds me of the woman who was flying, and she was very anxious, and the lights in the plane started to flicker a little bit, and so she called the flight attendant over, and she says, is there something wrong with the plane? The lights are flickering. She says, oh, don't worry, I'll take care of it. And a few minutes later, all the lights went out. Well, that didn't help her any too much. So the passenger next to her happened to notice, and he whispered over to her, he says, now, if you call the flight attendant back again, whatever you do, don't mention the engines. Well, the disciples had a reason to be afraid. You know, we don't know much about Pilate, but the two Jewish historians, Philo and Josephus, tell us that Pilate ended up losing his position in Judea in 44 AD because of a mass execution of Samaritans. Pilate was a vicious man. It's not just with Jesus. And so much so that he was even too cruel for the Romans. He lost his position because of the mass executions that he did in that area that riled the people up so much. So when it tells us in our text the disciples were behind locked doors for fear, this was a very real fear. And yet Jesus comes to them, and in the midst of their fears, he says, peace be with you. Jesus doesn't say, don't worry, everything's going to be okay. That's not what he says, because there's a difference between saying, peace be with you, you can face your fears, and don't worry, everything's going to be fine. No, Jesus says, whatever fears there are, and there are things to fear, you can face them with me by your side. I'm the one that changes that. As the resurrected one, Jesus says, now we're not alone. He's risen from the dead, and whatever fears we face, he is there to face them with us. And so he says, peace be with you. Dennis Guernsey is a psychologist. He was talking about a story. He was visiting a church, and he saw this little girl leaving the church office, and they had a school, and she was skipping back on her way to her classroom. She had run an errand for the teacher. And as she was skipping back, she was saying, my mommy loves me, my daddy loves me, my grandma loves me, my teacher loves me, God loves me, Jesus loves me. And as he saw it, as a psychologist, he said, you know, if my clients had a tenth of that confidence of love in their lives, the world would be a much better place. And yet, isn't that the story of Easter? Our God loves us. Our God is alive. Our God is with us. Peace be with you. It doesn't mean there aren't fears out there. It doesn't mean there isn't evil out there. There is evil. There is suffering. There is death. But Jesus allows us to face those fears with him alongside of us. We don't have to fear death the way we used to, because he has conquered death. And Jesus changes everything that way. You know, Elizabeth Kubler-Ross, who was famous on the stages of dying, tells of a child who was suffering from terminal cancer and had kind of shut down emotionally and would only communicate through drawings. And she was sharing this little girl had drawn a picture of a happy family over on one side, and there she was on the other side with a tank bearing down on her. And so there were a couple seminarians working with her, and she says, what might we do to allay the fears. Obviously, this girl sees her cancer like a tank ready to run over her. And one of the seminarians says, well, maybe we should draw a stop sign and somebody holding the sign saying stop in front of the tank. So they tried that, and the little girl didn't respond at all. Then the other seminarian said, let's just draw a picture of another little girl holding her hand. And when they showed that, immediately she just started crying and opening up. All that she needed to know is when she faced this cancer, she wasn't alone. You see, and that's what our text does today. As the Jews faced, or the disciples faced, very realistic fear. I mean, Pilate crucified Jesus. He very just as easily could have and would have crucified them. But he says, peace be with you. I'm the Lord of life. You don't have to fear even death. Yes, we're all going to face it. Yes, it's a reality that we all must face, but we don't need to fear it. Because Jesus is holding our hand. Jesus walks through this life with us. Peace be with you. Now, once he addresses their fears, he gives them a mission. Jesus says, as the Father has sent me, so I send you. You know, so often, and I think every time I've ever preached on this text of Thomas, I've really focused on Thomas and on what it takes to believe. But today, really looking at that first part of this lesson, peace be with you, and then as the Father has sent me, so I send you. The meaning behind this text is not just believing as if that's our goal. That's kind of the first step in our journey. Jesus shows he's here, he's alive. He says, now, don't sit up in the upper room, but go out there and share the good news. And just like the journey for you is not to just show up in church and believe, it's get out of here and go share the good news with others. We haven't fulfilled our mission, our calling as God's people, if we think the goal is just to be here on Sunday morning. The goal is to go back out there, and as the Father sent Jesus, so the Father sends us. Go out there and share the good news with others. That's the real point our text is making. Not just that we should believe. We should believe, of course. That's what Jesus says in this text. Of course he's alive. They saw him. They touched him. He is real. He is alive. Now go out and share the message with others. And so we are called to be, if you will, agents of life that go out into the world with the good news of Jesus Christ. And the first thing Jesus does after he says, now go out, as the Father sent me, so I send you. The first thing he does is talk about forgiveness. And he says, if you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven. And if you retain the sins of any, they are retained. Because at the core of our message as we go out is forgiveness. And of course, forgiveness starts with us. We will never be effective witnesses if we haven't experienced God's forgiveness for us. Because that's where it starts. If you don't think you've ever done anything bad enough to need forgiveness for, then you're not going to be a very good witness going out into the world, because Jesus isn't very meaningful to you. But if you know your life, your salvation comes through the forgiveness of Christ, now you've got something to go out there and share with others. So forgiveness starts with ourselves. You know, forgiveness. And so it is that we realize, when Jesus talks to us, he says, you think you're so good? Well, if you hate your brother, you're a murderer. And who of us hasn't had hate when somebody has done us wrong? If you lust, you are an adulterer. You don't have to commit the act. Jesus says, if you even have it in your mind, you are an adulterer. Or just look at the seven deadly sins: pride, envy, greed, gluttony, sloth, anger. As we look at those things, each one of us can see different areas where we have sinned, where we have failed to be as God has called us. And yet, that's why Jesus died, to offer us forgiveness. And when we have life in him, when we realize, when we're willing to have that difficult step of taking an honest look at who we are, and allowing God to forgive us, that makes us real evangelists, because then we have got something to share with others. Christ has forgiven me, and Christ will forgive you. So it's so important that the very thing after Jesus says, I send you out, he talks about forgiveness, because that's the core of the message that we take out into the world. But then we are to be as Christ. He says, as the Father sent me, so I send you. And so we're to imitate the life of Christ. And what was his life like? Healing the sick, feeding the hungry, welcoming the outcast, forgiving sinners. You know, Jesus, when he taught us to pray, he says, when you pray, pray, thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. So when you're sent out, act like Jesus. Show compassion like Jesus. Show forgiveness like Jesus. Show concern for others like Jesus. That's what he calls us to do, to be sent out. So the goal is not just, like Thomas, to move from doubt to faith. That's the first step, but to move from faith to action, to move from faith to sharing. Because that's what God calls us to do, to get out of the locked room, to get out of the locked sanctuary. And sometimes we think, oh, this is where my faith is at. No, the faith is to be spread out into the world. And just as Thomas and the others had faith and then went out and shared it, that's what we're called to do too. You know, Thomas, who gets the bad rap, doubting Thomas, really was honest Thomas. What among us, if somebody had said they had seen a dead man alive, wouldn't question it? But he came to faith, and Thomas later, we're told, went to India. Thomas was killed with a spear because he shared the faith. But he got out of that locked room, and he shared the faith with others. And we are called to do the same. So what does it mean for us to go out, to be sent as Jesus, as God sent Jesus, to share the good news of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, to share the news of forgiveness, that there is nothing that God is not willing to forgive if we are willing to confess it to him, to tithe, to say, God, you've given me everything that I have, and now part of my sacrifice being sent by you is to support the work of the church in congregations and in other organizations that spread that good news of Jesus Christ. And it is to feed the hungry and clothe the naked and house the homeless. And as we do those things, we are God's presence in the world. As we do those things, God's kingdom comes here on earth as it is in heaven. So remember, Jesus came and he gave you peace. As he speaks it to the disciples in our text, he speaks it to each of us. Peace be with you. And as he calls them to forgive, we need to remember he has forgiven you whatever you have asked in his name. Jesus has given you life, and now he asks you to go and do likewise. Go and share the peace of Christ. Amen. Will you stand and pray with me? Dear Heavenly Father, our fears lock us behind doors sometimes. And sometimes those fears are real. Thomas, after he came to believe, was martyred, as were 10 of the 11 disciples. Only John died in exile. But Lord, allow us, send us your spirit and send us out to be your presence in the world, to hold the hands of others who are afraid, to speak your word of peace, to witness to the life that we have both here in this world and in the world to come. Let us go in peace. Amen.